Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Leaders Speak, a conversation on federal acquisition. There are certainly major shifts occurring in business and society. They include greater interconnectedness, information proliferation, increased demand for transparency, and heightened customer and employee expectations. Tom Sharp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service within GSA, speaks to how these factors are impacting his organization and how the government acquires goods and services.
Right now, there are 61,000 people doing acquisition on behalf of federal agencies. 61,000. And many of them are working in a bubble, meaning without knowledge of what their counterparts across government are doing. These inefficiencies drive up acquisition lead times and operating costs, needlessly wasting very precious resources. They also make it increasingly difficult for any of us, industry and government alike, to effectively carry out our various missions. And this is happening because we don't have a firm grasp on what is happening government-wide. We don't have the transparency we need and want. We don't have an effective community of practice. We are not as interconnected as we should be. We haven't harnessed what data can tell us about the government market and our customer agency needs. So what are we doing? So FAST has developed a collective plan to be more efficient and effective in the future through transforming our business models to respond to these market needs, interconnected us with each other in government and with industry through category management, setting up decision-making tools and data capture mechanisms in the common acquisition platform in the hallways we keep talking about, and make it easier for the workforce to do great things by easing the technical and resource burdens. Category management, when implemented successfully, has the potential to deliver on these issues of transparency and connectedness, while significantly improving other buying behaviors and fixing a lot of what government needs to fix with respect to these procurement issues.
When tackling the future of federal acquisition, Trevor Brown and David Van Slyke, authors of Complex Contracting, believe increasing risk tolerance and acceptance while investing in the acquisition workforce are key.
The easiest way to minimize the risk of acquiring complex products is to stop buying it. That's not going to happen. The U.S. federal government is continuing to push the edge of the envelope on the acquisition of sophisticated information technology, advanced weapon systems, integrated healthcare systems, all of the mission requirements that face us, all the wicked problems that are out there demand the acquisition of complex stuff. So you can't stop buying it. In fact, I think it's only going to accelerate. And it's going to cascade down to lower levels of government. We used to think of things like aircraft carriers and the deep water system as kind of boutique-y, exotic products that only the Department of Defense buys. But the reality is every government buys information technology. The life cycle on the average information technology system is 18 months, and that's probably going to get faster. So everybody's going to need to figure out how do we acquire this complex stuff with rapid future change. That's uncertainty about what we're buying. Interestingly, I gave a talk to a bunch of local purchasers once, and I said, these are people at localities, counties. I said, what's the most exotic thing you bought? Three or four of them said, drones. Unmanned aerial vehicles. This is something we think of, oh, no, that's just the Department of Defense prosecuting the war in Afghanistan. No, everybody's buying this crazy stuff. So it's not going away. So the risks are not going to go away. I think the open question is how do you respond to those risks? One thing that I specified in the report that's a theme that runs throughout our book is you got to invest in the workforce. And so a question before policymakers, particularly before Congress, is are you going to put the resources forward to invest in the acquisition workforce? Are you going to allow agencies to buy employees to be able to staff their procurement function? From the agency standpoint, the open question is, are they going to take the steps to integrate what used to be a back office function into the central management core? Clearly, our recommendations are you got to do that. To buy is to manage. And so agencies should follow the pathway of the big purchasers, like the Department of Defense, a stellar example of how you professionalize the procurement core, that other agencies need to follow suit. So that's a big one. Some of the other things are, at some point, someone's going to have to revisit the FAR. The regulatory regime needs to be at least examined. In the debate about whether we should keep government running, our encouragement is we should move that debate to how do we make the government run well. And unfortunately, politically, that debate seems to be about whether the private sector should perform functions, i.e. we should minimize the size of government, versus whether the public sector should perform functions, i.e. we should increase the size of government. That's the wrong debate. Both of those sectors are involved in performing public activities. Contracting is an example of where the public and the private sector interact to generate value for all of us. So rather than have a debate about which one is better, we should have a debate about how do we make them work together. And that's what contracting really is about. How do we create a system in which the government can acquire those services and goods, those products, so that they get things delivered at cost, on time, that work for them? How do we get stuff that works? And that means that I would hope that members of Congress, policymakers, would start to hold hearings not on whether we should get rid of stuff, but how do we make it work better? And so in healthcare.gov, I've been actually pleasantly surprised that some of the more recent testimony has begun to focus on what can the Department of Health and Human Services do to not just make the website work better, but how can they improve their acquisition function?
I think this is where, you know, some of the people who listen to your show, like members of the Professional Services Council, yep, NCMA, NIGP, one of the things that comes out in all of their reports is more skills, not just the skills of compliance and following regulations, but skills like negotiation, relationship management skills, managing the market skills, getting out and actually talking to vendors. And it's not only just having some technical expertise, right? You know, this is what a certain type of IT system would have. And it's not just kind of contract acquisition skills. It's broader set of analytical skills, how to think about some of these trade-offs ahead of time. And I think that's an investment that's not going to be easy to come, but is much necessary. One of the things that I've heard people at DOD say is that they've worked long and hard with the Defense Acquisition University to move away from just FAR compliance skills to really thinking about, you know, negotiation skills and how to manage the market and understanding how, you know, the breadth and depth of the market on some components and how thin the market is in other areas. And so I think, you know, this is where the acquisition workforce has to be a priority. And I think, you know, until, you know, we've seen kind of fits and starts in every administration, and this administration has not made acquisition a priority. Mm-hmm. It has made, you know, the notion of insourcing a priority. But then even there, there's been a lot of variability. And, you know, if you're going to make insourcing a priority, you also have to make resources for training and development and capacity building a priority. And you just can't say we're bringing it all in-house. You need to have the people in-house to do it.
Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, offers his views on transforming federal acquisition for the future. He asserts that acquisition transformation, not just reform, is critical to enable the federal government to effectively lead in what he refers to as the collaboration age.
So collaboration age really implies the shifting emphasis that technology creates and that citizen expectations create on looking across organizational boundaries to receive services and provide services in ways that really didn't exist 10 to 15 years ago. Through cloud computing, through big data, through analytics that ties together a whole lot of different information streams. The collaboration age implies that organizations have to work together to provide services because individuals are expecting and able through technology to look across and expect that collaboration to occur. And the organizations that adopt this model we're seeing much more successful in the marketplace. So as federal acquisition thinks about this, it's really responding to that technology imperative and to thinking about in a world where lots of information and services are coming through an as a service model, as opposed to what might be a more traditional hierarchical technological provision through a set of servers or mainframes or applications, and pulling together computing activities that are acquired in ways that are agile, flexible, and can meet the needs of citizens that are expecting this collaborative, flexible approach to the world.
Chenik outlines the characteristics of federal acquisition in the collaboration age.
One of the things that the acquisition of the future activity has been looking at is, what does that future state look like for federal acquisition? What would a really 21st century acquisition activity entail? And a number of those elements include, for example, a more mature understanding of how to address risk in acquisition. So right now, the acquisition process tends to take risk and minimize it, basically require the offeror to absorb it or address it by going to sort of a lowest common denominator approach for all elements of a particular system or program that's being acquired. In the private sector, there's a view of risk that's a cost that you incur based on relative to the value that you're providing or receiving from the service. And so a much more mature understanding of risk in the government would allow an acquiring agency to work with the sellers to understand what's the risk, financial, programmatic, cybersecurity, et cetera, in the technology that's being acquired or the program being acquired. How do you minimize that risk, but also how do you recognize and communicate to the people being served by the program what that risk looks like? That's one characteristic. One other that I'll highlight now is what I'll call more of a marketplace approach and less of a rules-based approach. So if you think about commercial buying and selling, there are many direct buyer-seller relationships that are created through a value-based relationship where I'm buying something, I'm looking for the seller who is best place to provide it. And you're seeing that in both in online e-commerce and in Amazon and other types of organizations that are providing those types of consumer services, as well as some of the more interesting approaches, things like Uber and Lyft, where you're seeing lots of these individual buyer-seller marketplaces spreading up. In the government, we have through decades of building a policy through the federal acquisition regulation, much more of a rules-based and compliance-based acquisition process. And so if we can create pilot programs, allow flexibility in exchange for accountability, we can start to create characteristics of a future acquisition process that really look more like the collaboration age process that exists in the private sector.
Chenik outlines how transforming federal acquisition for the future will be realized.
So acquisition of the future was really the product of a series of discussions among government leaders and a small group of industry and nonprofit executives to support those leaders to try to say, all right, we've been trying to do incremental reforms on acquisition for really 10, 15 years now, and we're still basically making incremental progress. And if we're really going to move to this 21st century model of acquisition where government is really seeing value in terms of its interaction from the private sector in a significantly greater way, we need to think about a future state that is, if you will, how you would build the system if you didn't have the history. So how would you set up a federal acquisition process and set of outcomes without regard to all of the current constraints and policies? And then how do you create a roadmap to get from where we are today toward that future vision, recognizing that you'll never actually achieve it? It's more like a goalpost that you're trying to move toward, and recognizing that, you know, you're going to continue to have the need to provide taxpayer integrity, to establish clear rules and expectations among buyers and sellers, to guard against fraud, but to move toward that relationship and that future state. And that's really what the acquisition of the future effort is all about in a nutshell. It's trying to move a conversation across leaders in government and then expand the circle into the industry stakeholders that support government and the nonprofit colleagues of government to try to say, how do we define what that future looks like and how do we move toward that shared objective?
Some may find this vision of the future somewhat fanciful, given the highly political and regulatory nature of federal acquisition. Chenik responds to these concerns.
Right. So I think that it's important to have a realistic expectation of what that future state will hold. And it's not that we are going to shed the FAR tomorrow. And the FAR and policies and rules and procedures exist for a very good reason, to ensure that we're providing a fair process, that acquisitions are bought through an equal playing field in the competitive process, and that the government has a way to measure value over time in working with its community of companies that are selling services and products to it. It's more that without that kind of future guidepost, all of the efforts that we have now will continue to kind of work in different directions and may not come together in a coherent strategic fashion where both government and industry understand what that future state looks like. So really, this is an effort to try to create a place where people can look to see a common future so that the various conversations that they're having, both in individual procurements as well as in reforms of policy, are moving toward a common objective set of criteria, this sort of acquisition of the future state that I described earlier. And it's not that we're saying that you shouldn't continue to do the things that you do day to day, that government acquisition community, that the professionals, highly skilled professionals that exist in the acquisition offices and in the agency buying offices should necessarily change overnight how they're working. It's more that the future state creates a place that they can look toward to say, all right, we know that there can be a better way to do things, and we're going to move our efforts together slowly toward that objective and come up with pilots and programs that really provide better services. And I think that's an achievable goal.
I hope you've enjoyed today's conversation exploring federal acquisition and found it insightful. This has been Leaders Speak, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.